Okay, so let's, I think we were, the Gemara had asked the Kasha at the bottom of Mem Heyomad Aleph, the Gemara had asked, after the Gemara said, Balabais Tarad Bepoalos, the Gemara asked, the lace of lay below Shavua. So we talked about this a little bit. Ask the Gemara, so why not simply give it to the Sochir even without a Shavua? Let him just simply collect without even having to take a Shavua. And says the Gemara, Kedei Lahafis Da'ato Shel Balabais. A very interesting answer that really, what does that sound like? It really, al pidin, does the sachir really need the shvua in order to give him the ne'amanus to collect? Sounds like no, right? The only reason why there's a shvua is somehow to pacify, to appease the balabais. The Gemara has a few other kashas. Do you all understand that? V'leisiv le be'edim, v'leisiv le me'ikara. Is that clear, everybody? Then, let's just run through the Gemara. Just, yeah.
Just the v'leisiv le me'ikara one?
Yeah.
So, I just didn't fully understand. If you give the payments in the morning, then at night you won't be able to...
No, you give... What do you call me'ikara? What is the idea of... What does meikara means from the outset? No, you pay him in advance.
Yeah, I also didn't understand that. Rashi is trying to explain it and kind of more complicated it. Because Rashi explains that, okay, but we don't want to do that because...
Well, Rashi didn't... Which Rashi are you looking at? The lace of le meikara? Which Rashi? That's the answer. What Gemara is asking is, there should be a policy that all workers are paid in advance, before they do the work, which means that a worker doesn't start working until he gets paid. So therefore, once he's working already, the assumption is he was paid. So if the worker says after he finished work, well, you didn't pay me, we'll say it's not true. He did pay you because after all, you wouldn't have started to work had you not gotten paid, because the policy is you pay in advance. Why didn't we set up the system like that? There wouldn't be a need for a shavua, and we would know the halacha, because we can always assume the worker was paid in advance, because if that, in fact, becomes the policy.
Isn't that just bad for business? Like, why would you pay a worker before they started working? Just like...
Well, what's the downside? Why do you think it's bad business practice?
Yeah, like
I mean, the worker will just not do the work.
Or they can slack off or not do.
Okay, so the truth is, well, you'll see. I forgot to put down on the Marmakomos the Rimagash that I all gave you. I'm very sorry. I don't. So I hope you realize I just forgot to. So, after we finish now, I'll tell you exactly, you know, when to do the Rimagash. Plus, I also want to add a run in the back of the Gemara, which I told some of you, but not all of you, so I'll repeat that again afterwards. So that's what the Gemara was asking. What you're saying is, you'll see that that could be the answer of Shneim Rotzim B'Hakafa. When the Gemara gave the answer, they both won it on credit, meaning what? Not only the Balabais prefers to pay after the work is done, even the worker himself prefers to be paid after the work is done. And Rashi said, why? Because this way he's afraid he might spend the money before the evening, and then he'll need the money at night. So he's afraid, like he doesn't trust himself almost. So don't pay me now. Rather pay me at the end of the day after I finish the work. But the Gemara's question was, why not design a policy that all workers are paid before they work? And that would avoid the problem. You understand why that would... You just said, okay, the Gemara is answering, well, it's not in their interest. You're saying it's not good business practice anyway, because the worker might not do the work so well, which actually you're going to see that one of the Rishonim actually says that that's the Gemara's answer. Shneim rotzim b'hakafa. That's why the Balabayas wants it. You understand? What did Rashi say? Why does the Balabayas want it? Because he might not have money. That's what Rashi says, but you'll see other Rishonim learn differently. Yeah.
What's the translation of hakafa?
Credit, like you're buying on, like you get something on. It can buy on credit. Okay. Okay. Then the Gemara asked, "Ihachi on the top of Mem Hamad Beis, afilo katsatz nami." So first of all, what does ihachi mean? I'm not asking what the words mean, but what is the Gemara getting at? It says, if so, if so to what? Yeah?
If we assume the Baal Abayit is tarred, and therefore we give the Sefer more credibility.
Yeah, that's how Rashi learns, correct? That if, ihachi means that if it is so, that the reason is tarud bepoalov, so the Gemara is asking, then afilo katsatz nami, which means, the Gemara goes on to explain, so what does this mean, afilo katsatz nami? Who can explain that? Yeah?
Even if the dispute is not about whether the worker was paid, but how much they had contracted that he would be paid, how much they had agreed upon beforehand.
Right. And let's say, and the Gemara gives an example of such a dispute. Let's say the worker says, you owe me, we agreed that you're going to pay me two dinarim, whatever it is. And the Baal Abayis says, no, I only agreed to pay you one. So the Gemara quotes a braisa that the din in such a case is hamotzi mechavera lof haraya. What does that mean? What do you mean motzi mechavera lof haraya? What does that mean? Yeah?
It means that since the uman is claiming more money, but he has no proof. He only gets he doesn't get what he's claiming to the Baal Abayis.
Unless he can prove it.
Right.
Unless, no, who's the motzi? Rashi explains, the motzi is the uman. He's trying to get out two. Now the Baal Abayis is only admitting to one. So the uman, the worker, has the burden of proof, and until he could prove that he contracted for two, he's not going to collect that second dinar. Of course, he'll collect the one that the Baal Abayis was molded to, but that's it. Which means that there is no nishba v'notel in this case. Because if there were a nishba v'notel, then we should have done what? We should have let the uman swear and collect the second dinar. But that doesn't happen here. So the Gemara is asking, now there is two things. Number one, isn't there something missing in the halacha? The Gemara just says halacha is hamotz mechaver lof haraya. Isn't there a little piece of information missing, or a fact that's missing about what the halacha is in this case? Now you might say the Gemara doesn't mention it because it's sort of not really so relevant. Who knows what I mean? Yes.
He was modeh b'mitzas. He says he owes one, so there should be a shvur midareisa.
Who should have to swear?
The Baal Abayit, or the owner of the object.
Yeah. The uman, the worker, says you owe me two. You agreed to pay me two dinarim, and the Baal Abayit says no, I only agreed to pay you one. So isn't the Baal Abayit a modeh b'mitzas? Or then he is. Now if he is a modeh b'mitzas, there's a shvur d'oraisa that the Baal Abayis should be mechuyif to take. Now the braisa doesn't mention anything about it. All the braisa says is what's the psak in this case? Hamotzi mechaver lof haraya. So the braisa only focuses on whom? Who's the motzi? The uman. Now the braisa doesn't mention the fact. Well, doesn't the Baal Abayis also have not also, but doesn't the Baal Abayis have to swear? So let's say he does have to swear. But still, I'm answering, the uman still, though, is what? He's still a motzi mechaver lof haraya because he wants that second dinar. As far as the second dinar goes, he's not going to get it unless he could prove it. assuming, of course, that the balabais will swear, because he was a motive of mixer. Let's say he swears that I only contracted to give you one. That's it. Now, what's going to be the halacha? He'll just pay him the one. Now, if the uman says, you owe me a second one, well, he's going to have to prove it. Because the balabais already swore that he only owes him one, and he swore because that's a shuv of motive of mixers. So maybe the Brisa didn't mention it because it really wasn't relevant to the point that the Brisa is making. Is that clear? Someone had a hand up. Yes.
I thought it said in a mode of a mekatis, even though the Shuva deoraita is on the defendant, like Chazal kind of shifted that.
Yeah, who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Well, that is Rabbi Huda Shita in general, that, but also, well, who actually said that? Besides Rabbi Huda, didn't it come up, someone else mention it? Yeah, Tosfos mentioned it. What did Tosfos say?
Oh, right, from Akru Rabbanan.
Yeah, when the Gemara said Akru Rabbanan, the Gemara, the Chachamim were ochre the Shavua from the Balabayas and put it on the worker. So remember, Tosfos raised the point. What do you mean they uprooted it from the Balabayas? The Balabayas wasn't obligated to swear, at least so we assume. So remember, Tosfos gave two terutz, and one terutz says, well, in theory, they would have initially put the Chi of Shavua on the Balabayas, but they decided instead to take it away from him and instead give the worker a chance to swear and collect. But then the second terutz of Tosfos was that they would even do this, do what? In a case of moda b'miktsas, where, now if it's a moda b'miktsas, that sounds like that, then what is their fight about? Their argument is of exactly the case that we're now discussing, no? That the uman must be saying, you owe me whatever, 100, and the balabai says, no, only 50. And so therefore, what the balabayas is a motive b'miktsas. So Tosfos says, so in that case, okrua rabbanon, the chachamim would be okr the shvua from the balabayas to the sachir. Is that right?
Right.
So then you're asking is, what is Tosfos talking about? I mean, from this gemara that we just read, we see that that's not the halacha. That when Uman says shtayim and the balabai says one, the din is hamotz mechaver lo farai. They didn't take the shvua that the balabai swears and shift it and don't make him swear and then give the socher a chance to swear to collect the full amount. So yes.
That's only the havamim in the gemara.
Okay, so but that's what the no. Why is it the havamim? That's well. Let's see. That's what the brisa said. Hamotz mechaver lo farai.
That's the gemara's question, but then.
All right, so what's the answer? Now, Gemara's answer is Ktsitsa Vadai Midchar Dochirle. So, what does that mean? No?
That's not what I remember. That must be agreed
to. So, says the Gemara that as far as the amount that he agreed to pay, that a balabayas we assume does know, will remember. Because when we said earlier that a balabais is torud bepo'alov, he's only torud with respect to what? Whether he paid it or not. So he might have thought, you know, he paid it, but maybe he didn't pay it. But how much he agreed to pay his worker, that we assume he doesn't make mistakes, he doesn't forget. So he knows how much he agreed to pay. So therefore, in that regard, we don't assume he's Tarud and forgot how much he agreed to pay. So therefore what? So therefore if we assume that he knows that he'll remember, then he's not Tarud Bapoalov. And if he's not Tarud Bapoalov, then what? Then the Takana of Nishba Venotel that we give the Socher a chance to swear and collect doesn't apply. So then it comes out then, so wherever the dispute is about how much he is supposed to get, so here I'm asking this kasha. So if the dispute is about how much you're supposed to get, it comes out that what is the din in that case? There is no nishba venotel, right? So then what is Tosfos talking about?
But there's nishba venotel.
No, I know that, but Tosfos said on Amud Aleph about Okrua Rabbanon, that they were Okur the Shavua. Tosfos said, what kind of a case would that be true for? It would be true in a case where the Balabayas was Chayiv Shavua for Moda B'Miktsas, and then Okrua Rabbanon, then the Rabbanon actually took it away from him, so to speak. There really is a Shavua on the Balabayas, but they took it away from him, and they made a takana that the Sochir is going to swear instead. Well, how is that ever... What is Tosfos talking about? That's not the halacha. The halacha is that in a case where there's such a dispute about where the Balabayas is a Moda B'Miktsas, the din is that they did uproot it. I mean, the din is we see that Vaday Mitchar Dochir, that the Balabayas is going to remember, and there's no Nishba V'notel. Yes?
There has to be where the Balabayas is more of a mix-up, but it's not a question of how much he was supposed to pay, it's a question of whether he paid or not.
Yeah.
So he says, like, I paid part, and the worker says didn't pay any.
That's right. So you have to say that when Tosfos said that in explaining the Gemara of Okru Rabbanon, they were Oka the Shavua, and Tosfos says that would be true in a case where the Balabayas is a Moda B'Miktsas, you can create a case of Moda B'Miktsas different than the Moda B'Miktsas that the Gemara is discussing. The Gemara's Moda B'Miktsas case is where the dispute is about how much money did the Balabayas agree to pay. In that particular case, then what? Then Okru Rabbanon. I'm sorry. In that particular case, if the dispute is about what, how much was agreed to be paid, then the din is hamotz mechaver alof haraya. But if there is no dispute about how much was agreed to be paid, let's say they both agree that he's supposed to be paid 2 dinarim. So then, what are they arguing about? The Balabayas says, I already paid you 1, so I only owe you 1 more. And the Uman says, no, you didn't pay me anything. So you still owe me the 2. So the dispute is not about the amount that he contracted to work. The amount is 2. The question is, did the Balabayas pay any part of it or not? So in that regard, would the reason of Tarad B'Palav apply? No, yes. Why yes? In a case where the Balabayas claims he already paid 1, and the Uman says, no, you didn't pay anything. But they agree that everyone agrees that he's supposed to get 2 dinarim in total. So then in that case, the same rationale of Tarad B'Palav could apply, because he thinks he gave him already 1, but he mixed him up with another worker. Or he's too involved in his, you know, he got confused. Maybe he didn't pay him anything yet. So therefore, we're going to shift the Shavua from the Balabayas, Ogru Rabbanon L'Shavua, and they gave the Socher a chance to be a Nishba V'Notel. Yes?
It's not that he's admitting part of a debt. It's
why not?
They agreed to when he said I paid 1. So he's saying
what would have been if I borrowed $100 from you, and we both agree that I borrowed $100. Now you come back to collect and you say, give me my $100, and you said, what do you mean? I gave you 50 already yesterday, and you say, no, you didn't. Which case? The Gemara's case?
In
that case, well, was anything paid yet? The Balabayas says, I only agreed to pay you 1 dinar. The Uman says, you agreed to pay me 2. Now, was any money given yet? What are you assuming? Yeah. Let's say no money was given. So they're just arguing, how much money do you owe me? I say you owe me 2, and you say, no, you only owe me 1. So what is your question?
No, because we were calling it a Moda B'Miktsas case, but I guess that's what we were saying.
That's also Moda B'Miktsas. Why?
Right, but he's not, I mean, no money has been transferred, but he's not saying that he paid part of the money already. He's saying, like, I'm going to pay the whole thing, or I've already paid the whole thing. he thinks that the amount that he's claiming is the whole thing, right?
The argument is about what is the amount that should be paid. Nothing was paid yet.
Okay.
The argument is about, well, how much should be paid? So the Baal HaBayis says, the Uman says, you owe me, it's like saying you owe me $100, and you're saying, no, I only owe you 50.
You're not saying zero. So
you're not saying zero. You're not a kofar al kol. You're admitting that you owe me one.
Okay.
You're not saying that you owe me nothing. You could, if you would have said to me, I owe you nothing because either you never worked for me or you paid me in full, but that's not the case that we're talking. Didn't I guess did the Tosfos say something? No. Someone had a hand up? Yes.
Well, let's say in a regular case of borrowing.
Yeah.
In regular, if they're arguing about how much was borrowed, so do we say that in that case also there's no shvua that applies?
You know, moda b'miktsas?
Like, if
a shvua of moda b'miktsas? There would be.
Yeah.
There would be.
But why, so why in this case when they're arguing about the amount that's owed?
Yeah. There is moda b'miktsas.
No, but there's no, but we say how much mechaveira.
Because the amount of how much was agreed upon, that we assume a Baal HaBayis would not forget or get confused. He knows how much he agrees to pay his workers. The confusion that we're worried about is he might think he paid it when in fact he didn't pay it. But how much he agreed to pay, that we don't think a Baal HaBayis can get mixed
right,
up.
So there's no tarid b'palala.
And if there's no tarid b'palala, then there's no nishba v'notel.
Right. But
there
should still be nishba v'notel.
And there is.
Oh, okay.
Just the Braisa is not discussing that part of it. The Braisa is letting you know that there's no nishba v'notel, and if the worker wants to collect the full amount of what he's claiming, he's going to have to prove it. We're not going to give him a chance to collect it through a nishba, by swearing. Okay? Then, I just want to get through the Gemara. The Gemara then asked, let me just raise a question now, and then, but we won't answer it yet. When the Gemara asks Ihachi, if so, it sounds like if you're going to say this, then what about Afilo Kotsats Nami? Isn't the implication of that, or the impression you get, is that what? But there's no alternative, is there? What do you mean, ihachi, if so? What, do we have an alternative? You know what I'm saying? Is it that there's some other way to learn this? It's like the Gemara seems to be saying, if you learn this way, then we don't have any problems. But if you're going to learn this way, which way? Well, the way Rashi learns that he's Torah Baal HaBayis b'po'alov, if so, ihachi, if so, afilo kotsats nami. Is that what the Gemara means? You know what I'm saying? Should I repeat that?
The alternative to the
ihachi? I mean, usually if it says ihachi, if you're going to say this, it sounds like the Gemara means, well, if you're going to learn what other way is there to learn? What is Gemara trying to tell you? Ihachi, if so, afilo kotsats nami. I mean, the Gemara wants to come up with some other reason?
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, the Gemara is not happy with the reason of Torah b'po'alov.
Yeah.
So if so, and if this is the reason, if you think that this is really the reason, then afilo kotsats nami, to which the Gemara answered, no, kotsitsa is different, yeah?
Maybe it's not just that they want to come up with a whole new reason, but they think it should be qualified more. Because if you say that generally, that we always assume about it is...
All right, in other words, so just Torah b'po'alov in and of itself is not enough. We're going to have to, whether a whole new reason or we have to modify it, to me that's the same. Because we're going to have to adjust, we have to change something, right? We can't keep it the way we have it. Yeah.
Maybe it's that the Gemara knows that there are these other cases that don't seem to fit with, like there's halacha, like Hamatim Chavero, that doesn't seem to fit with Tarav B'Falav. So if you want to accept Tarav B'Falav, you need to do something with those. So you have to sort of bring them up to explain.
Or it's change something, whether we change the bright,
to allow you to keep Torah.
Either way, or Torah B'Polov has to be changed, right? Yeah.
Is are we assuming that Sakhir and Uman should be equated and everything?
At least right now we are.
I mean, I understand how they are related conceptually, but going back to what we, the original thing in the Gemara, which was Kadei Chayav, that applies much more to a Sakhir than an Uman.
Well,
I
mean, make sure everyone knows what you mean by that. Why do you say that?
I mean, it could depend on the situation, but a Sakhir is someone hired to work. Like, they work all day for this one person, but an Uman is an artisan, presumably, like, if it's like a shoemaker, presumably they have a lot of business. So this one...
Well, you don't know that.
We don't know that for sure.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else. An Uman is usually, a Sakhir is usually, he's paid by the hour or
the
by the day.
By the project?
Yeah, an Uman is a contractor more. You pay him for the job. Now, whether it takes him a day to do the job or 5 days to do the job, he gets the same amount of money. But that's not necessarily so. I mean, the word Uman just means, you know, you could pay him by the hour, too. You're not mechuyev to pay him for the job. You could arrange to pay him by the hour, so then he would be a sochir, too. So I don't think there's anything compelling that we have to... So Chav is asking, well, if he is a contractor, would that change things? That this halacha of nishba v'noto, that we're trying to help out the sochir, is that only true for a laborer who's being paid by the day or by the hour, or that would be true even for a contractor? Do you think that matters? First of all, I don't know if it matters. And number two, I don't even know if the word uman here is referring to a contractor who's paid for the job. It could also be paid by the hour. So I don't think we have enough information here, you know, to get into that. So, you know, let's not, unless we were forced to. Then the Gemara asked, afilu ihachi, afilu avar zmano nami. So what's happening now? What's the Gemara asking here? What's the Gemara asking? Yes, no? Yeah?
Well, if we assume that the Baalbayit is always like tarif halal, that he is the last worker, so then we should allow the worker to come even after like the proper time of payment.
Okay, and what is the proper time?
Well, isn't it like if you work during the day?
Then what?
All night.
Or if you work at night, then the following day. And what is the halacha of? So the Gemara says, "Ihachi afilo avar zman no nami." Ask the Gemara that even if the time when the debt is due, knows the. The salary, he's not mechuyev to pay the salary during the time that he's working. When does the chiyuv set in? The next, you know, time period, right? So if you're working during the day, it would be the night, and if you're working at night, it would be the day. So ask the Gemara if the reason is Torah b'Po'alav, then what should it matter when what? When this, are we talking about when he pays or when the Sakhir comes and makes his claim? The claim, right? So when the Sakhir, so what does it matter when the Sakhir makes his, what if he waited a day or two before the Sakhir came forward and said, you know, you didn't pay me yet? Would it matter? So you're right. Lachar, it shouldn't matter because Torah B'Po'alav, we can still say he could be confused. But the Gemara tells us that that's not the halacha. What is, Mer quotes a braisa that says, Over zmano v'lo nasan lo, Hareza einam nishba v'noto. Chazaka ein balabais over babal talon. Which means what? Answers the braisa says that's not the halacha, that if it's so when it says over zman of velo nasan lo, the word velo nasan lo confused me. It really should have been, what do you mean velo nasan lo? What? No, I don't mean that. I mean, the claim, I mean, it's not when he gave him the money. No, isn't it really when the claim was made? So really, it should have said, you know, v'lo nasan lo is going on, the Baal HaBayis didn't give it to him yet.
Well, it's also not known. If we know for sure the Baal HaBayis didn't pay him.
Yeah, I know. So what is it that we want to have happen during the Zman? Which means a claim, no? It's the claim. So I would have written it over zmano velotava, you know, referring to the worker hasn't made the claim yet. I don't know. I mean, it's, yeah?
So to play out the
hachi, though, don't we need to assume that the claim wasn't made until afterwards? So,
yeah, I know, right.
So assuming nobody was claiming anything, it sounds to me like what this is saying, is that if the worker failed to make a claim within the proper period, then he loses all his rights.
That is the halacha.
Right, he can't come back and then do something about it.
Right, there's no nishba v'noto anymore.
So this stands in opposition to the ihachi, which would be saying...
No, I'm asking a different... I'm asking about the wording. Why it should have been... The issue is not when did the balabais give him the money. The issue is when did the worker make his claim for it. Did he make the claim during the zman? Because what happened... Let's say if he worked at night, so then he has to pay him during the day. Now, what if he didn't pay him during the day? So, as you see, the Gemara says he violates a law in the Torah. You're not supposed to delay lo solin. What does that mean? You're not allowed to delay in paying a worker his wages. So he still owes him the money, but he violated a law. See, if he pays him 2 days later, okay, he paid the worker. He didn't steal from him, but he still violated lo solin, right? To me, it has to be the claim. If the Sakhir never made a claim during that next 12-hour period, then the Sakhir loses the opportunity to be a Nishba Venoto. So the Gemara is asking, but if the reason why there is a Nishba Venoto is because of Tarv B'Po'alov, so what difference does it make whether the Sakhir puts in the claim right away or he puts in the claim 24 hours later? Either way, if the Balabai says, I paid it, aren't we still worried that maybe he's confused with another worker? So what did the Gemara answer? How does the Gemara resolve this? Let's see what we just get. So how does the Gemara resolve this? Yeah?
We assume that by the end of the day, the Balabai pays attention to that, tries to make sure that he will not be over on Baltalin, and he goes through like his roster and makes sure that he's cleared.
Okay. Now this bothered me a great deal. Why? Did anything bother you with this answer of the Gemara? Yes? Did you have your hand up?
No.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Hannah, I thought your hand went up for a moment.
Yeah.
No, because then if you just believe, every day he goes through his rosters and pays him, then you can never have a case against him.
Okay, or to ask it the other way around is, what's going on? I mean, I thought the Gemara was assuming Torah B'Po'alov that he's confused. And now what? I mean, by the end of the day, he won't be confused anymore. He'll remember. So then he's not confused. What's going on? I thought the whole rationale is that he's confused. But now the Gemara is telling you, he's confused, but by the time, when that 12-hour period is about to expire, he's going to think really hard and make sure, he makes sure he'll remember who exactly he still owes the money to, because he doesn't want to violate what? Lo solin. So when do we say he's sort of confused? Before the end of that 12-hour period. What's going on? So that means he's not confused. Because if he sets his mind, if he focuses and puts his mind to it, he'll remember. Now, who is this... This kasha that I'm asking, who is this akasha on? What? I don't know. Now you have to put together things that you've prepared, although we haven't discussed yet. The kasha that I just asked is a kasha on whom? No? You don't know what I mean? I'm asking of the Rishonim. I'm asking what's bothering you. What again? On whom? I'm asking on the Gemara itself. I'm not really. Because...
On Rashi?
Rashi, that I don't know. I didn't think there was enough in the Rashi. Maybe, but there's someone that's much more explicit. Tosfos. Who knows which Tosfos do I mean? What did Tosfos say? What?
By Tarav Apollo, it doesn't matter. We assume that he's Tarav Apollo even if he only has one more.
No, well, that might... but that's what. How does that relate to what I'm talking about?
Well, I mean, only tangentially, but that's also then hard to believe that he's covered. Like,
well, then Tosis goes on to quote the Yushalmi that really a suck of Merubin, which makes more sense. It's not a question of how many workers he has. He's just a busy man. He's got a lot of things on his mind. So even he might have one worker, but he's got 20 things going in his head, you know. Got to worry about this, that, this, that, this, that. So he doesn't remember whether he paid his, even if he has only one worker. What? No, it's not that Tosfos. Yes?
The
Kimat Ezra. Which one? Kimat Azman Chiyuve. No, there was... no, was it really a Tosfos? Not that one. It's the, yeah?
Is it Tosfos that explains Tar Kefalav as making it into a Shema?
Yeah, that's the Tosfos. Tosfos on Memhei Maralef, the Nesiv lay below Shavua. Let's go over that Tosfos. Tosfos asked, well, who can tell me? I just want to get to know that. Becky, right? You know, what did Tosfos ask? What did the Nesiv lay below Shavua? What did Tosfos ask?
I think he's trying to like see what cases is parallel to in terms of Bari Shama Bari.
Why are we doing this? How does this come into the Gemara? Why is Tosfos doing this?
Well, when we bring up the option that well, why can't the Sakhir just receive the money without taking a Shrua? Isn't it that the only case we have that's parallel to that is Bari Shama Bari?
Yeah, or say it even, you're right, and just to say it a little differently. In other words, what would be the basis? The Gemara asked the Kasha, let the Sacher collect his salary even without having to swear. And the Gemara actually agrees with that. And the only reason why he does have to swear is Kedei Lahafis Dato Shel Balabayas. It's only to appease the Balabayas. It's not really because the Dayanim don't trust the worker without swearing. It's just to appease the Balabayas that he should be assuaged, that he should, you know, because he's already swearing, so it'll put the Balabayas' mind at ease, because he sees that the Sacher is even going to swear that, you know, he wasn't paid. So Tosfos understood that what could be the rationale as to why we would allow the Sacher to collect without even have to swear, you know, Me'ikar Adin? So it must be because it's Bari V'Shema. Just one second, it's Bari V'Shema. What do you mean Bari V'Shema? The Sacher is Bari that he wasn't paid. The Balabayas is a Shema, because why is he a Shema? Because he's Tarad B'Po'alov. Maybe he did, maybe. Now he might, now the Balabayas, does the Balabayas himself say, I don't know, or the Balabayas claims to know? Mm-hmm. He claims to know, but we don't think that he really knows. We think that he might be making a mistake. He thinks he knows, but since he's so tarud, he's making a mistake. So it's a case of Bari V'Shema. So, and that would be, in Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. So that would be the rationale as to why the Sacher simply could collect even without having to take a Shavua. But ask Tosfos, but that's all very fine if what? If you actually hold that Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. But as Tosfos points out, it's a machlokis, I think I mentioned this the other, that it's really a machlokis amoroim. It's in Baba Metzia. And actually some amoroim say not that way, that Bari V'Shema, Bari is not Adif. So in other words, if I come to you and I say, you owe me money, and you say, even if you said, Eini Yodea, you don't have to pay me. I'm going to have to prove it. The fact that I'm certain is not enough of a proof that would force you to pay me. So what Tosfos is asking is, if you agree with that Amora who said what, Bari V'Shema Bari Lav Adif, right? Then how do you understand this Gemara? How could the Gemara then suggest that the worker should be paid even without having to take a Shavua? Based on what? He's a Bari and the Balabais is a Shema, that's not good enough. According to that Amora. So what did Tosfos answer? No, what did Tosfos answer?
Well,
Yeah.
That it's like a different case where everyone agrees.
Yeah, what case? How could it?
Where he says.
But is it still Bari Vishema, or we move away from that?
It's still Bari Vishema.
Yes. We're still maintaining it's a Bari Vishema.
He agrees that he wants to take it. He's just not sure whether he ever paid it back.
Well, is that our case, or that's
no,
the parallel case?
That's the parallel case.
Okay, so just review. Go over the parallel case. What's the issue?
Well,
make up a case.
So one guy says, you owe me $100. And the other guy says, well, I know I did owe you $100, but I'm not sure whether I paid it back.
That's right. Good. Let's say the case was, I come to you and I say, you know, I loaned you $100 and you haven't paid me back. And you say, yeah, I know, I agree, I borrowed the money. I remember I borrowed it, but I'm not sure. I thought maybe I did pay it back already. I can't remember. So says Tosis, he bases it on a, but you'll tell me, how does Tosis know this? Tosis says that in this example, everybody would agree that Bari Vishema, Bari Odif. When does that Amora disagree and say Bari Lav Odif? That's only if the issue is not about whether he paid back, let's say, a debt that they both agree was incurred, but what? What is the, yes, the issue would be, yeah, what if I say to you, you know, listen, I loaned you $100 and you haven't paid me back, and you say, you're not sure. You don't remember whether you actually did borrow $100 or not. You just don't remember. So you don't even know if there was a debt to begin with. That's where there's a machlokas amoraim, whether bari vishama bari odif or bari lav odif. But if we both agree that there was a debt created, the only issue is what? Whether it was paid back, returned, right? If that's what the issue is about, then everybody would agree, claims Tosis, that Bari Vishema, Bari Odif. Because they both acknowledge a debt exists, or did exist. And since I say that you have not paid me, and you're not sure, but you are moded that there is a debt, so then the fact that we know a debt took place, so then what? Then in that case, Bari Odif. Now, what is our case? Now, the Tosis is claiming that this case, that I don't know whether I paid you back or not, is parallel to our worker Balabayas case. Do you agree? Do you see it that it's parallel? No, what would you say? It's not a trick question. I just want to see what you thought. Because there are two kinds of cases of Bari Vishema. One is where the issue is, was there a debt at all? I say you owe me money, and you're saying, I don't know if I owe you, if I ever borrowed the money. So there's a machlokes amoraim, whether Bari Odif or not. Then you have a case where we both agree there was a debt. The question is, did you pay it back? So I say you didn't pay me back, and you say, I don't know. In that case, Bari is Odif, according to everybody. Now here we have a case about a worker with a balabayas, right? So to which case would you compare it to? Yeah? Yeah, sure. Isn't it so? He did work for him. So was there a debt to pay a salary? Absolutely. What is the only issue? Was it paid or not? Isn't that exactly parallel to a case where we both agree you had borrowed $100 from me? The only question is, did you pay it back or not? Isn't that exactly? So Tosfos' answer is, you know why everyone agrees here that Bari Vishema Bari Yodif in our case? Because it's comparable, it's parallel to this other case, the second case of if the issue is, did I pay it back, did I return it to you or not? And then Tosfos, what's the next kashin, Tosfos? It says, Vimtomar, Akati, Amai, Nesiv, Le, Belo, Shavua. What does Tosfos ask? Yeah, what's the next kashin, yeah?
Yeah, just We're assuming now that they're completely parallel, these two cases, that the Balabai and the Safir is completely parallel to a Shema and Bari case.
Right.
So Tosfos asking, like, what is it, like, how can you just say it's always parallel? Like, what, is it never a case where you consider the Balabai and Bari, like, you never consider him credible?
Yeah. In a case, in the other cases that the Tosfos quotes from, the guy actually did say Eini Yodea. Now, in our case, the Balabais doesn't say Eini Yodea. He says, I'm sure. But we have doubts. So Tosas said, you mean, Tosas asks, you mean we can never assume that this Bala Bayis got his act together and he knows whether he pays or he doesn't pay? I mean, every Bala Bayis is this confused, disorganized person who doesn't remember who he paid and who he didn't pay. What, it's not possible to have some person who's on the ball, you know, and he keeps really very, very, very careful records of who he pays and who he doesn't pay? What's impossible? So what does Tosfos answer? No? So what did Tosfos answer? Yeah?
That Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that sometimes he can be considered Bari, and that's in the case of Kofar Akol.
And that's why Rabbi Yehuda demands what in order for...
It has to be Modem Mikta.
Exactly. But the Chachamim who...
But the Chachamim do agree that in every case of Bala Bai is considered... Or... Yeah.
Yeah.
In every case is considered...
In every case, we view the Bala Bai, as Tosfos says. Kevadai Shachach. We view that the Bala Bai is... definitely forgot. Isn't that what Tosfos says? So at the bottom line, how does Tosfos learn what Tarad Bapolov means? According to the Chacham, not Rabbi Yehuda. How does Tosfos learn Tarad Bapolov? It means what? That he's a Shema? That we view him as a Shema or not? Yes. We always view him as a Shema. So that's why I said now, if you go back to the kasha that I asked you before, the Gemara now tells us that at the end of the 12-hour period, he could remember. If he could remember, so what do you... You mean he's only a shachach until in the middle of that 12-hour... You know what you mean, which 12-hour? You know, it's the next half of the day. If he worked at night, so then it's the next 12-hour period of the daytime. If he worked during the day, then it's the 12-hour period of night. So Tosis, the Gemara is telling us that before that time passes, he will remember. Well, if he's capable of remembering at the end of the 12-hour period, why isn't he capable of remembering at the beginning of the 12-hour period? What is going on? Now, does anybody disagree with Tosfos? About what? Now, the way Tosfos is learning, the case of the Bala Bayis and the Socher is a case of what? Bari v'shema. Isn't that right? That's what Tosfos is saying. It's Bari. But what kind of a Bari v'shema? A Bari v'shema of, like, I don't know if I paid you back yet. But there everyone agrees. Okay? So, does anyone disagree with Tosfos about how to understand what Tarad Bapolov means? Tosfos simply equates it with a Bari v'shema. Isn't that right? Nope. Well, that's Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing with the Chachamim. I'm asking, within the Chachamim, within the view of the Chachamim, does anyone disagree with Tosfos and how to understand the Chachamim? So I'm asking you among the Rishonim. You understand what I'm asking? Well, what other Rishonim have you done? No? Was there anything in the Ramban? Was there anything there? No? Nobody...
In the first
I don't know, in the Ramban, whichever Ramban, I don't know. I don't want to tell you which line, you tell me. Okay, that first piece on the right of the Ramban, what's his kasha? No, what's going on here? What's the Ramban's kasha? Yeah, what's Tosis's kasha?
I think he's saying if we assume that reality didn't change and in the time of the Torah a Baal HaBayit would have been just as tarot before love, if the reality would have been the same, then why is it that the din d'oraisa was that there is no shvua here, but the Rabbana decided to institute the shvua?
I'm confused. Starting out, but what's the kasha? Say it again. The Gemara had said that he shouldn't even have to swear, right? V'litein la b'lo shvua. Ask the Gemara that why does the sucher even have to swear before collecting? He should just be able to collect. And the Gemara actually agrees he shouldn't have to swear. And the only reason why he does swear is k'day lahafis da'ato shel Baal HaBayit. Sounds like we would really let the sucher collect without even having to swear. Now Tosfos understood it because it's bari v'shema. Now what is the Ramban?
Yeah,
what is he saying?
That the Rabbanon, that when it says tarot befala,
yeah,
that means that now we suspect that the Baal HaBayit might say.
Isn't that the Ramban's answer to whatever question he was asking?
Well,
he says, lo kasha. What you're telling me now is from the lo kasha and onward, no? About the Doros Achronim, what you're referring
right.
to?
So his question is, why Midoraisa didn't we have this same din?
Oh, say it again.
Why Midoraisa was the din different, that we didn't believe the Sacher?
I mean, what is the Ramban assuming?
That
I mean, yeah, go ahead.
He's asking why the Halacha would be different if we assume that a Baal HaBayit, that nothing in reality changed, that a Baal HaBayit would have been just as busy with his workers in the time of the Torah as he would be in the time of the Mishnah.
Yeah.
So why is it that the Torah didn't make this halacha that we believe the Sacher and it's
I'm not
the Ramban?
Why didn't the Torah... I'm not getting
it. Why don't we have a din d'oraisa of Nishba v'Notel in this case?
Nishba v'Notel?
Why don't we believe... Why, according to the Torah, do we not believe the Sacher?
We do.
Not according to the Torah, only according to the
Rabbanan. What do you mean, only according to the
Rabbanan? Only Mishnah, it's not a din
d'oraisa. Well, how do you know it's not a din d'oraisa? The Mishnah's tell me, Mishnah's only tell us dinim d'Rabbanan, Mishnah's don't teach us dinim d'oraisa. Is that what you're saying?
Because we said that every shvua d'oraisa is nishba v'niftah.
I know, but the shvua here is only added in by the chacham k'dei lahafis dato, right? But otherwise, you really wouldn't need it.
But the halacha, the assumption the race is that the halacha is not with the sacher.
Oh, so what is the halacha?
The halacha is with the Baal HaBayit.
Okay, why?
Because he wouldn't midoraisa him?
Yeah.
Because midoraisa, we assume in those times, they assume that he wouldn't have said, I paid if he wasn't 100% sure.
Okay, so what the Ramban, so let's back up a second. And this really, we could have, this Akasha, you should have asked really on Tosfos. Tosfos says, you know why the Socher collects? Because it's a Bari Veshema. And why did they make him swear? They didn't make him swear in order to add Ne'emanus, to the Socher. The Shvuah was sort of added on almost like incidentally. For what reason? K'dei l'hafis dato. So if I were to ask you, why does the socher collect his wages? Is it a takanas chachamim or is it a din d'oraisa? According to Tosfos. Isn't it a din d'oraisa? The takanas chachamim is what only?
The shvua.
They threw in a shvua. And they did it not because of the socher's lack of trustworthiness. They only did it because the Baal HaBayit is screaming his head off. So, k'dei l'hafis dato. That's why they did it. It wasn't out of concern that maybe we can't trust the Socher. We absolutely trust him, because it's Bari V'Shema. So then the Socher collects min HaTorah because of Bari V'Shema, Bari Odev. Now, The Ramban apparently what? What is the Ramban apparently assuming? That the reason why the socher collects, even before remember the Gemara said the Shavuah is only kedei lo hafistato, but what is the reason why the socher will actually collect his wages? The Ramban believes that's not a din d'oraisa, because min haTorah, what should it really be? Min haTorah, if a balabayas says, I paid him, and a worker says, I didn't pay him, what do we assume? What is the din d'oraisa according to the Ramban? It's my word against yours, and is the socher going to win? No. Because it's my word against yours. Right? So what is the Gemara then saying when it says that the Gemara says that he should be able to collect even without a Shavuah? Based on what? See, according to Tosfos, he should be able to collect without a Shavuah because Tosfos views this as a case of Bari V'Shema, that it really is a Shema. What's a Shema? The Socher, the Balabais' position is really a Shema. So, according to Tosfos, when the Gemara said, I let him collect without a Shavuah, that's Midin HaTorah. It's Midoraisa he should collect without a Shavuah. Now, the Ramban apparently was not learning that way. How was he learning? When the Gemara said, let him collect without a Shavuah, he understood that is part of what? Of the Takanas Chachamim, that we should let a socher collect. But the Gemara is asking that, why don't we go all the way? If we're so concerned about this poor worker, let's make it as easy as possible for him. Why do we even make him swear? Let him just collect without having to swear. So what did the Gemara answer to that? G'day lahafis dato. Well, it's k'dei lahafis dato.
Well, the balabai, if we could always just collect so easily, then that would be that the balabai.
Well, we want to appease him. The k'dei lahafis is the same, but look what the Ramban says. Lo kasha the rabbanan hu da amar balabayis torah bepoalav l'fi shara'u b'daros ha'achronim da amre b'didame. You know what that meant? What does that mean? Da amre bididami. What does that mean? You understand? You know?
I think it's that they would clean it when they weren't sure.
Yeah, what do you mean? How does the word bididami mean? What does bididami mean?
Like deny, like unsure?
Or like it's dome. It seems that way. In other words, domeli, it seems to me, how would it fit in here? It's the balabais would be saying, it seems to me that I paid it. Yeah. In other words, a balabais is going to claim certainty even when he's really not so certain. He's just going to sort of assume it, or just, it's doma to me. It seems to me that I probably did pay you. So therefore what? But it's aval medina d'oraisa, so what does he go on to say? Kevendam or barili? Lo chayshinen latarit b'po'alov. Mishum de balabais made the doik. Vila Masafkale lo havi amrle em lachabiyadi. What does that mean? If he really was in doubt, he wouldn't have said to the worker, I don't owe you anything, because I paid you. So what is the Ramban then saying? So midin d'oraisa, it's bari versus bari. So min haTorah, if it's bari versus bari, then the socher doesn't get a penny min haTorah. But what? But the chachamim thought that maybe a balabayas would what? So that sounds like what? Is that a din d'oraisa? So this idea that maybe the balabayas, because he's Torah b'po'alov, he maybe will say something, he'll claim certainty, but maybe he's really not that certain. Is that a din d'oraisa, or that's sort of a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'oraisa, or is that a din d'rabbanan? Sounds like it's a din d'rabbanan. So according to the Ramban, so does the Ramban disagree with Tosfos? You see what I'm saying now? Absolutely, I think. The Ramban doesn't really view this as what is min haTorah. He doesn't view this as what kind of a case? A bari v'shem lo. The Ramban doesn't. He views it that really min haTorah, it's bari versus bari. So to bring up those Gemaras and Baba Metzia that Tosfos did is totally not shayach. Because this is those Gemaras that Tosfos brought up, right, about bari v'shem, is that min haTorah or is that midrabanan? Those halachos. It's min haTorah. So the Ramban is basically answering that this whole thing is a din derabanan. Now, you could ask me, if min haTorah, we don't assume that, no, if min haTorah, a guy says, I am sure, we're not going to second guess him. I mean, it's a very strange thing. I'm the Baal Bais. I say, I am sure that I paid him. And we're going to say to you, no, you're not sure. I'm saying, I'm sure. Well, what do you mean? I know what I did or I didn't do. So, according to the Ramban, so why do you think, according to the Ramban, why did the Chachamim go against, feel that they wanted not to follow the Din D'Oraisa? If the Din D'Oraisa is, it's really a case of Bari versus Bari, then why do you think the Chachamim brought up and said, well, maybe, you know, they since they saw the Amrei B'Dedami. It is such an interesting thing. I mean, they saw that people would do what? That they were saying things, even when it was only really doma to them, but they would say it anyway. So, if that were true, would the din d'oraisa change? Or is the Ramban still maintaining that min haTorah we wouldn't consider that? So what does it mean when he says Lefi Shiro B'Doros Achron De'Amri B'Dedami?
Well, that's why they felt the need to.
Yeah, but if they actually saw that people's attitudes change.
They can change what people say.
Like, I mean, still min haTorah, if you say I'm certain, even if there are other people who might say that and not really mean it, but how do you know that I'm one of those people? Min haTorah, you have to take me at my word. How do you know that I'm one of those people that would say things and don't mean it? Because there are some people who do that, who says, I have a cheskes kashrus, so min haTorah, I'm a bari. So why then do you think the Chachamim were willing, who knows what I'm getting at, why do you think the Chachamim were willing to say that this man is also b'dedami? That this Baal HaBayis is also saying it b'dedami? Even though he's screaming his head off that he's absolutely 100% sure. Yes, Devorah, why?
Maybe Torah
B'Polov. Well, that's exactly what we're trying to discuss. The Torah B'Polov is to say that maybe this guy is B'Dedami. But why are we assuming... What?
Why would the Chachamim then make a Takana that assumes that everyone...
Yeah, because we're saying, no, every Baal HaBayis, since we saw that there are some people who are saying it b'dedami, so maybe this guy also is saying it b'dedami. We don't know this Baal HaBayis from Adam. He comes in and says, I'm sure that I paid. So we're going to say to him, well, we know, we've had experience that there are some Baal HaBatim who are claiming that they pay when they really didn't pay. But they thought so. So we're afraid that maybe you're one of them. Now, normally we wouldn't do that. In haTorah, we wouldn't do that, unless we had a proof that you're such a person. But we're not going to assume you're such a person without proof, right? So why do you suppose the Chachamim were willing to do it here? Yeah? Yeah. See, what I was, and this is really what I mentioned the other day, when the Gemara comes up with Torah B'Po'alov, is that whole idea of Kedei Chayav, we don't need that anymore, it's thrown out? Review how the Gemara developed. When the Gemara first said, why did the Chachamim make this takana for the Sochir in the first place? So finally the Gemara said, you know why they did it? Because it says, Okru Rabban Shvul Mi Baal HaBayis V'Shotyu HaSochir Mishum Kedei Chayav. So the Gemara said, you know, they did it Kedei Chayav. So then the Gemara didn't understand, what do you mean Kedei Chayav? We're going to impose on the Baal HaBayis, back and forth, until the Gemara said, Ela Baal HaBayis Torah B'Po'alov. So what about this whole, because what does Kedei Chayev mean? Like we have Rachmanis for the Socher, we want to help him out because he's a poor man, he needs to support his family, so we want to help him. So that idea is, do we still hold to that idea when you get, when the Gemara finally says, Elabai is Torah B'Po'alov? What do you think, according to Tosfos, does the Kedei Chayev still have relevance? According to Tosfos, what do you think?
Yeah.
No.
The whole question doesn't have any relevance.
Yeah, what? It's Bari Vish. What?
The Gemara's whole question of Maishna Sachar Takinu Le Rabbanon, it doesn't. According to Tosfos, there's no Takana.
Yeah. So therefore, according to Tosfos, once we say Balabai is Torah B'Po'alov, according to Tosfos, we are now considering it to be a case of Bari Veshema. And if it is Bari Veshema, then basically the Socher wins. And that should be a Din D'Oraisa. So what is the only Takana then that's relevant here? What was the only Takana that the Chacham basically made?
The Shavua.
And that was done for the sake of the Balabayas. That was done for his benefit. You understand? Because according to Tosfos, why does the socher collect his salary? Was that a special takana that the Chachamim made that a socher should collect? No, that's because Bari Veshema Bari Odev. So then, what does it mean? So then, was there any takanas Chachamim here at all? Or this simply is a din d'oraisa? The only takanas Chachamim here seems to be what? That the Shavua that they impose that the socher would have to swear first before he collects. And the reason for that is not because we can't trust the Socher 100%, but it's Kedei Lahafis Dato Shel Balabayas, right? But right. So according to Tosfos, the Kedei Chayev is out, because how is that? That's not relevant anymore. And the only reasoning that we're working with is Balabayas Tard B'Po'alov. You follow? So, but according to the Ramban, and did anybody get to pass the Ramban yet in your preparation? Okay, you're going to see that other Rishonim mention both. They mention Kedei Chayev, and they also mention Torah B'Po'alov. They mention both. See, to me, I can't see how Tosfos could have both. You understand what I'm saying? Because according to Tosfos, once you say Torah B'Po'alov, that's it. It's Bari Veshema. Are we doing anything out of Rachmanis for the Socher here? Nothing. It's Bari Veshema. The only Rachmanis that they're doing is for the Balabayas to make the Socher swear. That's out of Rachmanis for the Balabayas. But according to the Ramban, it seems to me that maybe the reason why they wanted to give the Socher a chance to collect, and we're going to assume that this particular Balabais might be from those group of Balabatim who make assumptions. The reason why they wanted to do it was Kedei Chayev. So because of Torah, so how does Torah B'Po'alov work with Kedei Chayev? How do the two work together? You understand how they work together? Yes.
Okay, so because as a general principle of Balabasim, like generally be Torah B'Po'alov, you have reason to assume that on individual cases they may be, like, you may take away from their credibility. But, like, it's difficult to say that to any person, like any Balabite that walks into the courtroom, because they can say, no, I'm absolutely positive. So Torah B'Po'alov doesn't stand on its own so much, but once you combine it with the idea that, yeah, but you want to project it onto all the Balabasim anyways because you want to make sure that the Sefer gets paid. So
right. You said it very nicely. So it's because of the Kedei Chayev that we are going to assume that this particular Balabas is what? It's Torud. You understand? Because Minat Torah, we wouldn't assume that a Balabais is Torud. Tosfos seems to say, yes, we do. So I think that this is, so what's appealing in the Ramban, at least is that the whole idea that even a socher is going to collect his salary, according to the Ramban, is what? It's all part of the Takanas Chachamim. It's not a Din D'Oraisa. The whole idea, what is the Din D'Oraisa? The Din D'Oraisa is, it's a Bari versus a Bari, that's all. That's all this is. It's my word against yours, so the case should be thrown out. The socher shouldn't collect a dime until he can prove it. You understand? Hannah, yes? Not because we want to help out the socher, because he's a poor man, we are therefore going to assume that this particular balabayas maybe is saying what he's saying, bididomi, because only it's domit to him that he paid it. That we are going to assume that he's one of those balabatim who we see bedaros achronim who are saying things, but they're saying they're certain, but we see that they're really not. So we're going. So why are we going to assume that you're the balabaskam? Why should we assume that you're one of those people? Maybe you're the one. You're one of those people who are very strict down to the last penny, and you're very careful about everything. How do I know that you're one of the, you know, those people who are not so careful? The reason why I want to assume it about you is because I want to help out this worker, this poor man. Okay, yes.
So I'm just having a hard time understanding Rabbi Yehuda according to Tosfot, because up until, like, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that everyone is fired.
And what does Tosfot actually say? Tosfot says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, look what Tosfot said, that Nehid Rabbi Yehuda lo choshev legamre ke'eni yodeya.
Right, so it makes it very problematic, because up until now we're saying Taru basically equals Bar Bari Meshema, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even hold Bari.
He doesn't agree with that.
Exactly, so now we're going to have to redefine, because it actually makes it more, it seems like Rabbi Yehuda is more of a Takana in the end than Chachamim, because Chachamim we're saying is basically no Takana, it's just the added on Shvua. But Rabbi Yehuda is actually a huge Takana, because he's taking it from scratch, because he wouldn't have thought that.
I mean, you're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who basically, Tosfos is claiming that Rabbi Yehuda does not view the Balabayas as a Shema. Because if he did, then what? If Rabbi Yehuda viewed the Balabayas as a Shema, then Rabbi Yehuda would not have demanded what? Moda B'Mikzas. If the Balabayas is a Shema, then it's Bari V'Shema. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda must have looked upon what? That when the Balabayas says, I'm sure that I paid, it's not a Shema. It's a Bari versus a Bari. And that's why when it's Bari versus Bari, then without Moda B'Mikzas, the case would be thrown out. That's why in a case where he is a Moda B'Mikzas, and the Balabayas is now Mechuyev to swear, right, where he's a Moda B'Mikzas, so then the Chachamim now contributed, made a Takana to help out. It could be a contributor, Kedechayev would be the reason. No, the whole Gemara's discussion is that Kedechayev or Tarba Paolov, that's all according to whom? The Chacham, not Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara doesn't discuss Rabbi Yehuda. So if I were to ask you, why did Rabbi Yehuda feel that a Takana was made when he's a Moda B'Mikzas? Why did they do it? Why not let the Din D'Oraisa stand? He's Moda B'Mikzas. The Balabai should be a Nishba V'Niftar. Why did they switch the Shvua onto the worker? You follow what I'm saying? So what reason would you give, yeah?
Well, but the way you're saying it is that the reason would be Kedechayev.
Yeah, it could be the reason is Kedechayev.
Why can't you say that the Moda B'Mikza is a requirement to prove that the Balabai is Tarut? Because, like, why can't you say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he agrees with this whole...
Why is he Tarut? He claims he paid him already one, and I'm sure of it, and I'm willing to swear, and I swear
right,
that.
But we say that the reason by Moda B'Mikza you have to be Nishba Vinotar is because we assume that being Moda B'Mikza shows that you're more suspicious.
But then when you swear, we're not suspicious anymore.
Right, but why can't it be that Rabbi Yehuda required, in order to be to show that the Balabayit is Tarut, you only see, if he says that I didn't pay, if he says I'm sure I paid, so then he's kofar akol, so we assume he's telling the truth.
Right.
But if he says I only paid part of it, so then we assume, oh, he's one of those Balabayits that must be mixed up, because now we're suspicious of what he's saying.
Well, I don't know if that mean, you're saying that maybe when...
That's just a requirement to prove that he's one of those Baal
Abayim. Yeah. It's just that you have to introduce that even Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges that maybe there are people who say things and they're only bididomi. I don't know if Rabbi Yehuda even acknowledges that. So if you're right, I mean, if you agree, if you make that hanacha, if you accept that premise that even Rabbi Yehuda feels that Bedaros Achronim, you know, that they were making claims, people were saying things only bididomi, then yeah. But I'm just saying, I don't even, without even...
The Chachamim think that your Baal Abayis is always tarid, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only tarid
when your motive makes us. Okay, I think that's a possibility. Or the other way, what I was suggesting was simply kedei chayav. But they weren't going to do it when it's bari versus bari.
With that, you still need kedei chayav, because tarid b'fala is the rationale for saying, like, why it's possible that we'll take the Baal Abayis claim of bari and say, no, you're really not sure. Because you're tarid b'fala, we can say that you're not sure. But you still need a motive for doing that. Because Rabbi Huta doesn't say that in every single motive of mitzvah we switch it, only in Sacher.
Yeah, she's right. She has a point. So you, I think you still think
it's
she's right.
It's just that you would, Rabbi Huta does in a fewer cases.
Yeah, you probably still would need kedei chayav, because why would we do it? Why would we assume that this guy...
I'm saying he could agree with Tosfot's thing that it's Shema and Bari, but it's not...
See, Tosfot is claiming it's always Shema. But if once you're going...
Tosfos doesn't say that Rabbi Huda doesn't think it's a case of Shema and Bari. He's just saying that, according to Rabbi Huda, he's not always considered a Shema.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, according to Rabbi Huda, according to Tosfos, Rabbi Huda is saying that it's still a case of Shema and Bari, but we only consider him a Shema when he's Moda and Mikta.
So, and then why does he... Then why in the Sochir... So you mean then it would be really then it's considered Bari Vashema?
Yeah, but we only consider him a Shema when he's Moda Mitzah, because we only consider him Tari.
I just find that hard, because if you want to say Minatara, he's a real Shema, but Minatara, he shouldn't be a Shema. Minatara, he should just be a Nishba V'Niftar.
Right, but we could say that for the Rabbanan also.
No, but the Rabbanan don't. They believe that Minatara, he's a Bari, period. And I'm sorry, according to Tosfos, I'm sorry, he's just a Shema, period.
Right, so I'm saying, according to Tosfos, Rabbi Huda thinks he's just a Shema when he's Moda Mitzvah.
But that sounds like was that a Takanas Chachamim? Or that's a Din D'Oraisa?
No, according to Din D'Oraisa. According to Rabbi Huda, it'd still be a Din D'Oraisa.
Yeah, I find that hard.
It's only in a case when he's Moda Mitzvah.
I find that hard. I mean, you're telling me that if Minat Torah, we assume you're a Bari and Bari. But now we see that there are people...
Yeah, but it'd be weird to say that according to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Huda, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, and according to...
Why not?
That is their machloket, whether we take his claims...
Whether we look at it as a Bari V'Shema, that's exactly what they're debating. That's
Tosfos
what I
would make that more clear.
Okay, I agree with you that the language of Tosfos says, Lo Choshev Legamrei Kein Yodea. So why did he say he doesn't consider it completely an Eniodea? I would have said yes, he does. I mean, why does Tosfos put it Lochoshev? We don't consider
the Gamrei meaning all the time.
Yeah, it's not always Locha. We don't view it as an Eniodea all the time.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he only views it as an Eniodea when he's more than Mitzvah.
Yeah, but then the point then is, but that sounds like it's a Takanas Chachamim. Still, I find it hard to say that is a
Din. Because we say more than mix that is what makes someone seem suspicious.
Yeah, but then the suspicion is gone once he swears, because he still has a definitive claim. And if he swears, so now we believe him. That's the whole idea of Nishba V'Niftar. So Minatara, we should still believe him. Now, you're telling me because there are some people now who go around saying things.
No, I'm saying I don't think that.
Well, then what reason? Then why should it be a Shema then?
Because
how does it become a Shema?
Whenever a Baal is tarid, we assume he's, according to Tosfos, whenever a Baal is tarid, we assume he's a Shema.
Okay. Yeah, but not, that's according to the Chachamim, but not Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say?
It's not enough. He also has to be Moda B'Mikta.
Right.
What?
The tarid is not enough. He also has to be Moda B'Mikta in order to consider him Shema. Because once you're Moda B'Mikta, also.
Yeah, I'm asking you that you consider him to be a Shema when he's Moda B'Mikta. Is that a Din D'Oraisa, or that's a Takanas Chachamim? I would say it's a takana. I don't see how this could be a Din D'Oraisa.
Why do you assume that Rabbi Huda doesn't also think about tarid b'kolala?
That it's really a Shema?
No, why you said that when the Gemara is discussing that the reason we gave this shvuah, the reason we made this shvuah nishba v'notal as opposed to nishba v'niftar because of tarid v'po'alav, why can't that be according to Rabbi Yehuda?
I don't see how. You can say it, but if you don't introduce kedei chayav, I don't see why. If you understand that, if you the Torah b'po'al of according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't see how that could be a din d'oraisa, because you're telling me that where he's not motive b'mikzas, we don't assume he's Torah b'po'al of.
Right.
Well, then make up your mind. Either you do or you don't. So if you, and then normally in a case of motive b'mikzas min haTorah, we don't view a motive b'mikzas as a shema.
But we view a motive b'mikzas as more suspicious.
Yeah, and that's why he needs a shvuah. To clarify his position.
What I'm just saying is that maybe according to Rabbi Huza, the only reason we would think he was tarid, the only reason we would be suspicious.
Now, I know what you're saying. It's just that I can agree with you if you say it's a takana. I just find it hard to say it's a din d'oraisa.
All those little things adding up. Maybe the Rabbanim would do that, but it doesn't mathematically. It doesn't change anything.
Well, if you say that you can introduce tarid, but the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is willing to introduce it is because of kedei chayav, because otherwise the din d'oraisa should be every motive b'mikzah should be a nishba v'niftar. And at the end of the day, after he swears, do we believe that person who swore? Absolutely. And you're now potter from paying. We believe you. The other guy has now the burden of proof. So that's the din d'oraisa. So I don't see, unless you want to say it's a takanas chachamim, that we're going to view him as like a bedadami. Okay, then the question, well, why did they do that? Mishum kedei chayav. Okay, so let's, yeah?
This is kind of a general question, but when we have this Mishnah about Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim disagreeing about this takana, at what point was the takana instituted in relation to when they're having this machlokes? Are they arguing about we are about to institute a takana, when to institute it, or they know that there was a takana already from generations?
I thought the latter, that they knew of this takana, but apparently it was never clarified to them under what conditions this takana of nishba v'notel would apply. Sounds like that they knew, they both agree there's a nishba v'notel here. The question though is, under what conditions do we apply it? Now the Chachamim applied it always, whether he's a motive in Mekzas or whether the Balabais is a kofar hakol.
So we don't know the origin of the takana.
No. I assume it came, I mean, we know there must have been a takana, but we don't know how it was originally stated. I mean, had we known that...
When it came into effect.
Well, we know it came in before them, before Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim started to discuss it. So it probably came into effect, you know, in the times of the Bible, you know, of BCE. No, 100, 200 BCE was probably when these takanas were made. Yeah.
So we said that Tosfot was making it a din d'oraisa, but why can you say that they were just using that as the model for why they were making this takana? Because
I don't know. Tosfot doesn't seem.
Because
where do you see that in Tosfos?
Because he says at the end that they consider him always a
shachach.
Always a shachach.
Yeah.
But the fact that, the fact that they have to say that is showing that this is weird that we're just considering him a shachach even though he's saying that he's not. Like, how could you say it's a din d'oraisa if he's saying that he's certain? He certainly paid the worker.
No, we are so convinced that people, balabatim, because they're so busy that they can make a mistake, that any time a balabayas comes forward, we assume
right,
he's...
Right, so that would seem like a reason to make a takana, that they're,
not necessarily.
That they're similar to a din d'oraisa. But how could you claim that they're then consumed under the din d'oraisa?
Then if min haTorah it's a bari v'bari, then what was Tosis even bringing in? What was Tosis's kasha? What did Tosis even bring in the whole parallel to
this? Because he's saying why they could have made the takana, like similar more to the Ramban. They could have made the takana that a sakhir doesn't even need to swear and he just collects. So why did they make the takana as they did? Because they're considering it that like a Shema and Bari case.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me. It sounds like Tosfos really. I don't.
Because maybe Because we said the Shavua doesn't really mean anything.
Well, the Gemara said it. I don't need that. You don't need Tosfos. The Gemara said it because they will have this Tosfos Shabbat Abayis. That's Tosfos. That's the Gemara. The Gemara said it. It's not. So you have to deal with the fact that the Shavuah is only Kedei LaHafiz Da'atam. The question is, why does the Socher collect? So I thought, according to the Ramban, it sounds like that's a Takanas Chachamim. And the Tosfos, I don't know, the way you read, I don't see enough in Tosfos to suggest that he doesn't believe that it's really a Shema. It's so much a Shema to Tosfos that we now suspect everybody. And that's a real Minatoro. Everyone is... Every Baal HaBayis is suspected of being...
You don't need the Shavua to prove, to make the Baal.
No, the Shavua is only because, as the next Tosfos says, tell me, in a case of Bari Veshema, do we demand that the Bari also swear Kidei LaHafiz Dato of the Shema?
Mm-hmm.
No, you understand why? Why do we only do it here?
Tosfos
says it. Because the Baal HaBayis is screaming his head off. He's saying, I paid it. In the case of Shema, where he says, I don't know myself, so if we say you have to pay it, he's not going to scream. He himself doesn't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But where I'm claiming that I know that I paid, and you're telling me that I have to pay again? So to assuage his, you know. So there, then we'll say, okay, Kedei LaHafiz Da'ato will make him swear.
So you're saying Tosfos still thinks that...
It's really Bari Veshema. Yeah. And Tosak explain why then in Bari Veshema don't we also do the same thing? Kedei LaHafiz Da'ato? Because there it's different because the guy is a Shema. But when a guy is... Right.
Just the way I see that. Just the way I read it originally was more that because he's screaming his head off, therefore we can't consider it just...
No, I don't see it.
Of regular, therefore we have to make a Shavua because it can't be...
But that's not the Gemara. It's, what you're saying is against the Gemara. The Gemara is Kedei LaHafiz Da'ato.
But that makes more sense if it's part of the Takana. We're going to make this Takana, we're going to give it to the Sachir, but well, while we make the Takana, Kedei LaHafiz Da'ato Shabbat Abayis, we're
yeah,
going to
add okay,
Shabbat. It's strange to think that we need Doraisa, it really belongs to the Sachir because it's Bari Veshema, and then in later generations they decided, oh, well, the Baal HaBayis is going to get upset, so let's make it a Shabbat.
No, that's what, according to Tosa, that's exactly what I think Tosfos is saying. I mean, that's why I say I like the Ramban better. That's why, unless you could read this, I don't see how you read this in Tosfos. It's just not enough. The Tosfos compares it to Bari Veshema. That's it. And explains why Kedei LaHafiz Da'ato only applies to this.
I thought that was more of a reason, like, how could they make this Takana?
They can make it if they want to make it. They don't have to.
Have, like, a reason.
Well, they have a reason. Kedei Chaya, whatever their reason is, whatever they feel. They don't have to make it look like a Bari Veshema case if it's really not. Why do you have, you know?
Well, even the Ramban uses that, so.
No, he has the Kasha from it, but he says it's really not that at all. It's not really Bari Veshema. According to the Ramban, is this really a Bari Veshema case?
Maybe you're abundant, it's a Bari Veshema case.
No, I don't. I would, why do you have to say it that way? Why do we well,
I'm saying, why can't you say
okay, so what do you gain by saying that? It's really not... Well, Tosfos quotes these Gemaras and doesn't indicate to us that Minatora, it's not... Tosfos could have answered that. Tosfos should have said, could have given us a whole different approach, saying that really this has nothing to do with Bari Veshem, it's really Bari or Bari. And the reason why we're thinking that we should just give the Socher a chance to collect, even without having to take a Shavua, is what? Kedei Chayav? I mean, Tosfos just says it's Bari Veshema, and that's it.
Tosfos can't entirely do that, because the Gemara has already sort of rejected Kedei Chayav as a sufficient...
Mm-hmm. So this is, okay, we're going to stop now, but this is now, if you think again about the Ihochi. When I asked you, what does Ihochi mean? If so, see, the question is, the rationale of Kedei Chayav, are we still holding to it or not? So you're going to see Rishonim talk about this, that Ihochi maybe means that as long as we were learning that the reason of Kedei Chayav is the reason, then maybe... But if the reason is Torah b'poa love, ihachi, then afilo kotzatz nami. See, I don't think Tosas would be learning that way. And probably because it sounds like from Tosvis that Kedei Chayev is out. We don't need it at all. It's not coming for anything. So then you have to say, ihachi just means, well, now that we've said that if the reason is Torah b'poa love, as opposed to what? Not as opposed to the Kedei Chayev, as opposed to maybe some other reason that we don't know about yet. You know what I mean? What is Ihachi? If so, not if the reason is Torah B'Polov as opposed to the Kedei Chayev. Ihachi means if the reason is Torah B'Polov, that really is the reason, but not some other reason that we still don't know about yet. Then how come Afilo Kotzatz Nami? You follow what I'm saying? I'll tell you what I want you to take a look at is I don't think I put it down on the Mara Makomas, on Mem Hei Amid Beis, the top Tosfos. Look at the top Tosfos. And you tell me, you'll prepare, now we're going to stop. So what I want you to do, just add in the top Tosfos, the Rima Gash, I forgot to put it actually in the sheet of the Mara Makomas. So you could do if you've done the Ramban, you can now do the Rima Gash. But I also want you to do something else, which I didn't mention. I mentioned it to some of you, and that is the Ran. In the back, the Ran on the Dapim of the Rif, Daf Chaf Hei Amid Beis in the Dapim of the Rif, you'll see about 2/3 of the way down the Amud, he starts to explain the Gemara. And you'll see the letters Gimel Mem in bold, big print. So you'll start from there, and you'll go into Chavav Amid Aleph, that was Chaf Hei Amid Beis, and you go into Chavav Amid Aleph until you'll see about 1/3 of the way down the Amud, you'll see a big word in bold print, Yerushalmi. You stop there. Okay? So you'll work on, and that add that little Tosis at the top. So I don't, maybe, well, we'll see what, maybe we'll, I don't know, we'll, maybe we'll resume again soon. You want to have another?
We did an hour and a half.
We just did an hour and a half. Yeah, we just did an hour and a half. Okay, so maybe you'll want to prepare. So you want to prepare now until 12, and then tomorrow we'll... I want to have another hour and a half tomorrow, Shir. So we could we could start at the regular time, like at 11:30 until 1. Okay? Okay. How do you press this button?
Yeah. The end.